from the church planner Paul to the local body that he planted in Philippi. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, and being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you looking to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the cross kind of death. You see, this is a letter in history to a particular church by a particular church planter, but couldn't be more relevant to any church planted in any era of history. When it comes to the baseline for understanding how the body of Christ is to live together, functionally and effectively, to establish and promote the kingdom of God. So I've titled the message, Going the Extra Mile. And we're going to talk about this for the next 2 weeks. As Ron said, this is a critical time in the life of this local body that was planted by this church planter. And this church plant is not something for this church planter to grasp. And you have a very important responsibility. What you may not recognize, but I'm about to demonstrate for you, is there have been a lot of extra milers already on this journey to this point. And the baseline for every believer, every follower of Christ in every local church is that we are all those who go the extra mile as communicated here. You know, it's not easy to put others' interests before yourself, right? That may be the most difficult requirement of what it means to follow Jesus Christ, right? To place myself in subjugation or submission for the benefit of others. That's what we call the grandest type of love. That's agape. That I live out my affection for you by proving my willingness to be devoid of my resource for your benefit. And you may not realize it, but that's exactly what's going to be required of all of us as this transition runway gets shorter and shorter, this runway that began with a taxi from the terminal about 18 months ago. And it's never been more critical for us to commit to live out together the demands of extra mile ordinary Christianity. Let me put it another way. Ordinary Christianity is extra mile living. So I'm going to talk about what's required for the next 90 days. Ron spoke to you, and his word picture could have you thinking that something's about to come to an end, but actually something is about to begin. And this is what's, right? this is so critical for us. When you talk about a transition, something doesn't just abruptly stop and then wait for something else to commence. This is a flow of life-giving transformation in the life of this body. And we all have a part to play. And we all have preferences to put in subjugation for the benefit of the body and the person that God calls here. Every single one of us. And so this is going to be a very practical message. It's going to be comforting and challenging and encouraging and convicting for the next 2 weeks. Because what I want to know from this body that God privileged me to plant under Jesus Christ's lordship and regency and headship. What I want to know from this body is, are we willing to go the extra mile, especially at times where it's most critical, so that what's been established can grow, not just be maintained and not look like it looked previously, because that's impossible. And it's impossible for the good. Are we willing to go the extra mile together for the benefit of this church that Jesus Christ himself established? So this is where we are in the calendar year. Right? You like, I do this with my calendar. Every day that's gone is now red and unavailable. Stop, you can't go back. And then there are periods that are like, Let's go. You know, I mean, these are our colors, right? If you look right here, out here in the lobby, you see a sign that's up top that says, "Let's go," right? It's like, I'm a sports guy. I'm an athlete. I love it when somebody like values the team and performs for the team and finishes something that the team needs to accomplish and then looks up and go, "Let's go." Now, sometimes that can go too far. But this is where we are in this season. And what I want to do is I want to look forward really into the middle of June in this extra mile season amidst all the ordinary extra mile that we're called to. Because this is going to be a high intensity responsibility for us. And I just read you the ultimate extra miler. He is always our catalyst. He is always our energy. He is always our measuring stick. I'll never accomplish the extra mile that he accomplished, but I'm called to accomplish the extra mile that he's called me to. Right? Being in very nature God, subjugated himself for my benefit. He provided the sprint through a horrendous extra mile to accomplish something I could never accomplish on my own. The forgiveness of my sin and the alleviation of my guilt and the understanding that I now have a position with the Father, my Creator, in the kingdom. He opened the door. And when we say he humbled himself, we are not doing that story justice. He allowed himself to be abjectly humiliated in this torture, naked before the world. The absolute opposite of what a Savior we think should look like in our vision for grand, mountaintop, grandiose, braggadocious leadership. He was the exact opposite. He descended into greatness for our benefit. And if you know the rest of this text in Philippians 2, therefore God exalted him and gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. But there would be no crown without the cross that he bore. And if you'll allow me, this is going to be a significant cross-bearing opportunity for you. If you crucify your preferences, if you crucify your position of what this guy must be or what he must not be, if you understand that you are embedded in this local body by God's design. And there are so many other things that you can carry across in this season for the benefit of the entire body and setting this guy up for success. My question is, will we persevere through this extra mile together for the glory of God's kingdom? And I'm so strident in these few minutes because I've seen it done so poorly. And it's almost embarrassing, but we are not those people, are we? Are we? Now I backed all the way up to verse 5 and reminded us of how we are supposed to live in that same mindset. Not holding on to things for our advantage, but humbling ourselves and serving in whatever appropriate ways we can. Now then, I've already said this. Time for every one of these folks that call themselves journey folk, those of us who have been long and short, those who have walked with us a while or a longer while or seemingly forever, or brand new. You know who Oz Guinness is? Great author. I recommend his books highly. In my Colson Center work, we do webinars with Oz occasionally, and he always looks in. We talk about the challenges of the day, the challenges from culture, but he always reminds us at the end of the extra miler who has already accomplished everything, and we are merely to walk faithfully in obedience. And he always looks into the camera, and with that brogue from across the pond, he goes, "It's a great time to be alive." And it is, right? We have the security of our salvation and the confidence in the power of the Spirit, and we move forward with power, with that same power. So this isn't really a very long message at all. I'll probably expand it. So I'm going to talk briefly. And I'll start it and give you some specifics this week and then some more next week. How can we set our next senior pastor who there is being evaluated and God is choosing, how can we set this man and his family up for success? And I love team sports. And now in my little tete-a-tete with my friendly student pastor Paul, who dismissed my metaphor of a basketball team 2 weeks ago and replaced it with his metaphor of a soccer goalie last week, I want to revert back to my basketball team metaphor and say, you might extrapolate incorrectly that Jesus saved, so therefore soccer is the biblical sport. I want to counter with, oh, yeah? Well, Jesus' disciples can dunk. Wah, wah, wah. But now I'm bringing another beloved team sport into the game. A lot of people have bumper stickers that say, "My child and my money go to this or that university." Well, I want to say that my daughter and a lot of my money went to club volleyball. Anybody else? And I'm talking a lot of money, enough to actually go to college. And that was part of our investment program. Every time I wrote a check, this is my investment in your scholarship. And by God's grace, she got one, and then by whatever decision, she didn't stay for the whole time. But I love you anyway, Pookie, if you're out there listening. I love volleyball. To me, I'm a basketball player all my life, and I played some volleyball. I wish this is a tangent. I wish that somehow the southern states would have been more appropriately attuned to men's volleyball in middle school and high school. I can't ever figure that out, because once I got to be a younger adult and started playing, I'm like, I was made for this, baby. But But volleyball is so finely tuned to the point of preparing some particular person for success, right? And that person in particular is the one who is called a hitter. And a hitter's mechanism and execution is called a spike. Bump, set, spike. And the whole play, every time, no matter where the ball is, no matter how the libero has to dive, the goal of every time the ball crosses the net is that hitter can spike. Everything is attuned to that. And what I want to do now is draw that right here into this room and out there if you're on the journey and say that our responsibility is to set this guy up for a successful kingdom spike as he enters this environment. Does that make sense? You know what's strange, though, is that he will probably find, even in this body, a couple of people that seem like they're on the other side of the net. And I don't get that. I just don't get that. Quote quiz. Who said this? Just shout it out when you get it. Who? Jesus, the ultimate extra miler, the one who did the ultimate humiliation of himself for the benefit of this body? So let's look at the pronouns here. On this rock, I who will build. Who does the my refer to? Whose church is this? This is not Mitch's church. This is not the guy that's coming in will take possession of this church. We are merely privileged under-shepherds of the chief shepherd who has established this church. And it will flourish according to his desire and the body's participation. But it is his church. And so the first reckoning we have to have is, man, when Mitch had this church, that has to go. Because when Mitch had this church, there were some great things, and there were some things that probably could have, you know, been embedded. Because I'm a passionate leader and incomplete. I have a great team around me. Shoes. These are my shoes. You know what fits in these shoes? My feet. You know why I bought these shoes? Because my feet will fit in them, and also they're according to the things that I can do with them and my style. These are the shoes of other men, and their feet are in them. So this any kind of conversation that, you know, we need somebody to fill Mitch's shoes is inappropriate. You're going to get a new set of feet and a new set of shoes by God's design. And these feet and these shoes are going to go to the next great adventure that God has called Sherry and I to, and she's taking her feet and her shoes also. That makes sense, right? See, the more time I spend looking in the rearview mirror, the more beauty I miss out in the windshield. It's deeply touching, right? Like I've said how many hundreds of times from probably this spot, right? Like, here's where my wear marks are on the carpet. I'm a man in need of constant affirmation. And the affirmation is awesome. But I don't want the affirmation to become some sort of pull back to the past. We're looking to the future. I'm so excited for the future of this body. It's time. It's time for some fresh shoes. How to set up your next pastor for success. prayer, prayer, prayer. Now, Ron's doing a great job rotating on the same week of every month, this 24 hours of prayer. But we need to be praying all the time. Pray without ceasing. Put something on your bathroom mirror so when you're either shaving your handsome mug or preparing your beautiful face, that's right there for you. Just that this is 90 days. Put it right there. Next, preparing for our mask optional worship service. I could spend a lot of time with this, and here's my take. We're all at the point now where we've lived with this thing long enough, and we've seen all the research we want, and we've chosen the research that fits our agenda, and we've ranted against other research that seems to be just as credible. My take is, you're all mature people who have been making your own decisions. Raise your hand if you've been making your own decisions. And under the auspices of community life, we're going to continue to make now, as we move toward our mask optional service, which is 11 a.m., I want to launch it on Easter. Do you think we can do that together? What's going to be required is for you to now go the extra mile. Let me just pause right here. I have a list of people that I want to thank for going the extra mile to this point. I'm not going to name them all by name. I'm just going to name them by category. People that have been on this runway who were in the terminal before even the flight was scheduled some. First of all, your board, your executive board. You need to thank these people individually. Board members in the room, raise your hand. Oh, go ahead. I know you're very humble. We have two board members in the room right now. We have three board members. Terrence is back there working, right? That's what he does. He's an extra mile guy, like all these. I don't say this to puff them up. I say that they need your prayer. They need your support. They need your thanks. They need your gratitude. They have been extra mile and then some. And they are flat wore out on many levels. But they're doing that for the sake of our effective move into this next season and setting this guy up for success. Also, your staff, your current staff, been taking on a lot that's extraordinary to their role definition. And some of it's by design because, you know, I'm kind of like John the Baptist a bit. You know, I must decrease on this runway, while they must increase. And we've had kind of some balancing acts. Oh, I'm decreasing a little too much here. Ah, come back. Or, hey, Mitch, you're kind of, I'm like, okay, And it's been a beautiful dance, and we all still love each other. But your staff have been going the extra mile here. You need to thank them. You need to support them. You need to pray for them. Also, your ministry directors. And your ministry directors includes not just the transition to our next senior leadership, but dealing with this whole COVID mess of trying to set up what's appropriate for people to come in and be safe. And leading a team of volunteers who've said, yes, I'll be at this table every week. You need to thank them. And next, your candidate evaluation team. We have a group of people from the body who, I don't know how rigorously they were screened. I've met some of them. Just kidding. But they've been at it just as stridently as the board, some of them, and our staff. And then finally, your candidates. You know, this is March Madness time, and we're now at the Final Four. Did you know these things about where we are in the process? Your candidates, they need your prayer and support because they have undergone a labyrinthian exercise, first with the executive search firm and the transition team, the transition specialist, the transition team, before they even got to us. And then they scratched and clawed their way up the mountaintop during these interviews And if you've ever been involved in some of this, and I have as a candidate, it is like depleting. And you want to be at your best, and you have no resources. Right? I met with one of these cats after, you guys must have just really worked him over. On a Monday night, he was here with everybody. And on a Tuesday morning, I met him for coffee. He sat down. I looked at him. I said, bro, you just want to use this time to, I don't know, put your head down, take a nap? I'm serious. But here he is with the founding pastor of this place. These are all extra milers on the journey. My question is, where will you find your continued energy to be an extra miler? And quite honestly, I've been in a church in the comfy, cozy West long enough. That's the only church I really know from an extended period. There are some in the church that hadn't even gotten off the starting blocks. There are no milers. I mean, there's an attitude of consumption. I mean, we live in a culture of consumption. It conditions us to consume. I'll talk more about that next week, so you have that to look forward to. Where will you find yourself? Because if we're going to prepare for this mask optional service, if we're going to be ready, then we need you to volunteer to serve. With a bias towards kids, even if you have a bias against kids. What I've found is many people who say they don't want to work with kids are just terrified of kids. And I'm like, what? Like, huh? And this is what I've been authorized to offer from the children's ministry. Just this 90-day period, this extra mile season. So that we can get this mask optional thing launched and then be embedded so that we have bumped, we have set, and the new guy comes in with an environment that he could just go bang for the good. Does that make sense? We want to hand this guy the best, most effective, healthiest, fully orbed, fully integrated, fully prepared ministry landscape that we can. And everybody said, so right out here, right behind, like 3 feet from Terrence's head on the other side of the wall, is where I want you to go and sign up to serve in this extra mile season. Will you do it? What I don't want is those of you who are already exhausted from many, many miles to go, because some of y'all are like, yeah. That's not what I'm saying. Particularly for those of you who are undermiled or no-miled. This is your opportunity to participate in setting the next senior leader up for success. This all makes sense, right? This ain't rocket surgery, is it? It's really not. Some people are going, he just said rocket surgery. That just doesn't even make sense together. Shouldn't it be brain science? Oh, no, wait a minute. Let me write this on a piece of paper. It ain't brain surgery or rocket science. Are you satisfied now? Can everybody move forward? All right, good. The last thing I want to do is be a barrier to clarity. All right, so this is what I want to do. Come on out, Crossline. I want us to make like a first extra mile move, and some of that may be a physical move. And if you're live stream, I want you to hit your knees if you can and you're comfortable, because we're going to pray as extra milers committed together to set our next senior leader up for success. So I'm going to call you forward. If you want to come forward, you can line up over here. I'll be here. If not, I'm going to ask you to just commit to some prayer time. This is the way I want to do it. Go ahead and start plucking me out some. I'm going to just give you about a minute just to pray for yourself in silence. Justin's going to give us a little background. Just pray for your own understanding of where you are as part of this body and whether or not God's calling you to extra mile burst here for the next 90 days. I imagine for a lot of us, the answer would be yes. And then I'll lead us in some prayer, some guided prayer after that. Father, speak to us now by the power of your Spirit.